श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 11 द सिम्टम्स ऑफ लिविंग एंटिटीज टेक्स्ट 1 श्री भगवान वाच भद्रो मुक्त इति व्याख्या गुणतोमेन वस्तुता पुनश्च मायामूलत्वात् न मे मोक्षो न बन्धनम् श्रीभगवान् वाच Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Bhadra, in bondage, Mukta, liberated, Iti, thus, Vyakya, the exclamation of a living entity, Gunata, due to the modes of material nature, Ne, which are my potency. Na. Vastuta. In reality. Gunasya. Of the modes of eternal nature. Maya. My industry energy. Mulatva. Because of being the cause. Na. Na. Me. Of me. Moksha. Liberation. Na. Nor. Vandanam. Bondage. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God has said, My dear Uddhava, due to the influence of the material modes of nature, which are under my control, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated. And since I am the Supreme Lord of Maya, which is the cause of the modes of nature, I also am never to be considered liberated or in bondage. Purport. It's a long purport. We'll just read part of it. In this chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, explains the different characteristics of conditioned and liberated life, the symptoms by which one can recognize saintly persons, and the various processes of devotional service to the Lord. In the previous chapter, Uddhava inquired from the Lord how conditioned and liberated life are possible. The Lord now replies that Uddhava's question is somewhat superficial, since the pure spirit soul is never entangled in the material energy of the Lord. The living entity imagines a false connection with the three modes of nature and accepts the material body as itself. The living entity therefore suffers the consequences of his own imagination, just as one suffers the illusory activities of a dream. This does not indicate that the material world is illusory in the sense that it is non-existent. The material world is certainly real, being the potency of the personality of Godhead. And the living entity, being the superior potency of God, is also real. But the living entity's dream of being part and parcel of the material world is an illusion that drags him into the contradictory state called material conditioned life. The living entity is never actually bound up or bound up, since he merely imagines a false connection with the material world. We are suffering the consequences of our own imagination. That is the sum and substance of conditioned life. But that imagination is so powerful that we feel the happiness and distress to be for real. You know what it's like when you dream. When you're really into it, you can think it's real until you wake up. Similarly, until we wake up from the dream of material existence, we're going to take it so seriously. But someone who is already awakened will watch you tossing and turning, having a nightmare, or watch you laughing and smiling as you think you're enjoying the dream. But the one who is awake knows that this is all foolishness. You're imagining.
is the dream-like situation of material existence false? No. It is a real thing, but it's a dream thing. Just like a dream has reality, but it's not what you should be absorbed in. Therefore, people look down on dreamers, as they say in Australia when they want to get on your case. You're just a daydreaming no-hoper. Of course, when someone is successful, then people glorify them. Oh, you followed your dream. Sometimes parents in the Western world, they have no better advice to give to their children than just follow your dream, whatever makes you happy. We'll support you, whatever you do, whatever makes you happy, just follow your dream. That's like saying, just follow your nightmare. We'll support you as long as you get pleasure from your nightmare. But then you say, well, what's so bad with a nightmare if it's a happy nightmare? Happiness, distress, good dream, bad dream. But Lord Chaitanya says, it's all a nightmare. Happiness is an agitation, just as distress is an agitation. Now, everyone here can recognize that when you're distressed, it agitates your mind. It affects your health, you get stressed, your breathing quickens, blood pressure goes up, so many things like that. So you can accept that you do not want to be disturbed by distress. But how many of you realize that happiness is also equally a distress? It's disturbing. Just remember, when you think you're materially happy about something, it's like a feverish condition comes over you. I'm happy. Oh, I'm so happy. Yes, it's a particular state of consciousness which agitates the mind, and then it goes away, right? The agitation of happiness comes and goes just like the agitation of distress. So when you're distressed, oh, it's too bad. Oh, this is too much. I can't handle it. Oh, why? Oh, I don't know how to get out of this situation. So when you're happy, oh, it's too good to be true. Amazing. Oh, awesome. Oh. It's an agitation. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you rise above happiness and distress. Yes, impersonalists know that also. But what is the missing knowledge is what is Paramasukha, the supreme happiness, which is not an agitation, because that supreme happiness, the Paramasukha, is beyond the modes of material nature, beyond the dualities of happiness and distress. Our imaginations are so strong. We're bound by our imaginations. What does the Shastra say? Asanga, Yayam, Purusha. There's actually never a connection between the spirit, soul, and material nature. So then you're thinking, what are you doing in this situation that you're in? If there's never really a connection between the spirit, soul, and material nature. The connection is only in a dream. You imagine there's a connection. That's how strong your dreaming potency is. It's the false ego, the ahankar, that accomplishes the miracle of spirit-soul identifying with matter. Therefore, it's very important, it's of supreme importance, that we engage in selfless devotional service, because that, like acid, dissolves the false ego, which produces that imaginary junction between matter and spirit. The false ego is responsible for all this wizardry in which you think you're a product of material nature, and therefore by indulging in material nature, by pursuing the varieties of material nature, by being attracted to the varieties of material nature, by having faith in the varieties of material nature, that is going to be your real self-interest. The whole scheme is managed by by the illusory energy of the Lord. And of course, that means ultimately the Lord Himself. Daivyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. Krishna claims the proprietorship. This material energy, it's divine because it's connected to me. It's mine. Mama maya duratyaya. It's very difficult, practically impossible to cope with. But what is our determination? We're going to make it work, right? We'll sort it out. We'll make good arrangements, lasting arrangements. And ultimately, Krishna doesn't know what he's talking about, right? But in the short and medium run, we'll have a good chance to make a nice situation in this world, and our desires will be fulfilled. Because that's the purpose of the material world, right? To fulfill your desires, right? So it's just a matter of time before you get some satisfaction. You may not get complete satisfaction, but you'll settle for 90%, right? Just a matter of time, because that's what this world is meant for. In illusion, we're thinking, if this material world were not meant for our satisfaction, then what are we doing here? Brilliant thought, isn't it? We're here, so obviously we're going to be satisfied. And we even have some religious convictions about that. God gave us this world to enjoy. God put us here. Therefore, we might as well be happy since He put us here. We might as well use this world for our happiness. God gave us these bodies. We might as well make them beautiful and enjoy them. Now, what if, let me introduce this scientific hypothesis. What if this world is not meant for our pleasure? Won't that then cause us to think differently? This world's not meant for my pleasure? Then what am I doing? Why am I endeavoring? Why am I working so hard? Why am I in such anxiety when this world is not meant for my pleasure? But Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. Mama maya duratyaya. Very difficult. My energy is very difficult to overcome. It's practically impossible unless you do things my way. Now we feel restricted by that, don't we? Doing things Krishna's way. Why does it always have to be like that, right? Why can't we have some latitude, some freedom, some more space to, just express ourselves? We'll give Krishna his due. We'll do a little puja for Krishna, give a little offering. But at the same time, we should be allowed to express our life, to achieve, to get fulfillment, right? We should be allowed to make a temporary station of happiness in this material world. We know it's temporary, but still, what's wrong with trying to get a few decades of fulfillment and happiness? If Krishna will just let us do that, let's say 30, 40 years of happiness, then we'll renounce peacefully, right? Just let Krishna have, Krishna should let us have a fair go at the material world. Right? He should give us a fair go at the material world. And if he does that, we'll agree to renounce after 40 years. Isn't that how we think? Krishna should understand that there are first things first. First we get material happiness, comfort, security, fame, respect. And then we give it up. But if we actually understand this material world is not meant for our pleasure, then we can see clearly. But to get that understanding requires deliberation, constant deliberation. And who wants to think about this all the time, right? You want to get on with your life, do things, achieve, satisfy, indulge, just a little bit, and fulfill. Who wants to think all the time that this world is not meant for our pleasure? How can you go on with life in that way? Therefore, sometimes people challenge. If everyone would think like what Krishna says, how would this world go on? Who would push on the economy? Who would push on the world systems if everyone did like you all? You know, Prabhupada's answer to that question was, said, don't worry, there'll always be enough fools to push things on.
Why fools? We're doing important activities. Our achievements, they're so important in the pages of history.
To understand the reality of this dreamlike material existence requires constant hearing and deliberation. You can't slack off on the job because the illusion is so powerful. Krishna knows that. It's his illusion. That's why he says regular hearing and chanting, regular devotional service. Otherwise, you can't stand up to the illusion. You may say, well, I had a streak for some months or even some years of regulated devotional service, hearing and chanting. But you know, okay, now I have to advance my life in other ways. Krishna should understand and just back off. Not that I'm forgetting it. We should just back off. Why does Krishna always have to be in our face? Right? Krishna always in our face means devotional service always in our face. The nature of illusory energy is such that unless we're constantly hearing, constantly deliberating, in the association of devotees who want to see, who want to remove the veil of illusion from their eyes, we're going to succumb to illusion. You don't have to get a degree in space aeronautics to understand this. We're living in a polluted atmosphere and we have to constantly protect ourselves. So sometimes devotees become bothered. Why the constant? Nick up and bother with the same man. Every day very bothered. Why can't Krishna just give us some room to develop some things on our own? What do you think? And sometimes we even say that it would be so much easier to introduce Krishna consciousness to others if Krishna would just back off a bit and give, you know, just give people room to do their own thing. Put a little bit of Krishna sprinkled on top. But you can't do that. Krishna gives you the freedom to do that. But you can't blame Krishna for telling the truth. You can't have an anger, even envy, to Krishna because he tells the truth. It's my energy. It's going to be a disaster for you. So we have to deal with this root disease in our heart to be the enjoyer of the Lord's energy, to be the exploiter of that energy. The disease as we look at this world is our place for pleasure pastimes. Krishna's Yamuna Tiravanachari. He plays on the bank of the Yamuna, he plays in the forest. Well, this is our place here. Krishna can have the Yamuna, right? He can have the Vrindavan forest. We got it here. You've got these bodies. They may not be Satchitananda, but they've got some enjoying potential, right? We've got to uncover that enjoying potential of these bodies. Why don't we hear from Krishna straight up? He's telling the truth. Can you blame Krishna for telling the truth about his energies? I give the example so many times. You go to an architect to ask him about the house that the architect designed. And the architect tells you, whatever you do, don't buy that house. I know, I'm the designer. I made it so it just fall apart. You don't want to live there. I know that on the outside, it's very nicely painted and looks so good from the outside. And even inside, the walls are freshly painted and it has expensive lighting fixtures and all the modern appliances are there. I know that. But let me tell you, structurally, it's going to fall apart. After some time, the roof will fall in, the walls will crack, the floors will sink, so many pests will come out, termites and rats. There's toxic chemicals in the house that will gradually spoil your health, produce genetic defects in your children. And what's worse is that when there's huge bushfires, your house is right in the way. And what do you say? Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We'll make a go at it.
Insurance.
Oh yes, insurance for the house. Of course, insurance companies go broke. The biggest insurance company in the world that handles the insurance for all the other companies has gone broke. If you have a government bailout. I remember my travel insurance. I get an annual travel insurance policy because if I have some accidents in some foreign country, you don't want the temples to have to pay huge medical expense. Some years ago when Sunyasi was visiting Australia and he was in a car accident and had to go get brain surgery, it was like $100,000. Just fortunately, it was finally ruled that it was the other car's fault and therefore that other car's insurance had to pay. But otherwise, because ISKCON invited the Sunyasi, ISKCON would have been hit with a $100,000, medical bill. So to avoid that, Sunyasis, they have travel insurance. So I asked the insurance company, Mike Henry, name of the company. I said, well, who's the backer behind this insurance? This was some years ago. He said, don't worry. It's a triple star. It was a AAA, accredited, rated, corporation, AIG. They never fail. So much money. They are backing all the insurance companies in the whole world. You can be sure. Rest peacefully. Now what's happened, of course? They have to go ask for a government bailout. And the government had to bail them out because, if AIG goes down, then it's like a deck of cards. All the other insurance companies collapse around the world. So much for your insurance. And insurance companies, they'll do anything to avoid paying. So, the architect warns you, don't move into this house, but you still do it. Oh, we're going to be so happy, we'll make a family here. We'll have loving affairs here. We'll watch the television here. We'll go to the temple on Janmashtami. Look at the backyard. Our little children will play. And mother can just look out the back window while she's cooking and see the children in the backyard. How nice they're going to be. We don't listen to the architect. The architect knows. So easily you would accept that anyone in that situation who doesn't listen to the architect who built the house and is saying the house is a wreck, that person is crazy, right? Just like I've heard amongst our Indian congregation, when one of the devotees is about to buy a house or build a house, he gets input from the whole congregation. Do they do like this, make the mortgage like that, get this builder, so on and so forth. So much advice is going on. So Krishna is giving the expert home buying advice. He's telling you, don't buy the home of a material existence. And we're so attached. Because we're suffering the consequences of our own imagination. We imagine there's something known as material happiness in terms of its satisfaction. There is something known as material happiness, but it's an illusion. So we're imagining that that illusion will make us happy. He wants to save the class. The son of his boots. I was here. What am I doing here? Here in the world, I want to hear the purpose. Stop. What about the situation of liberation and bondage? Uddhava has asked the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how is it possible that the spirit soul can be conditioned and liberated? The Krishna is answering. And you'll find this theme throughout the Bhagavatam. Vidura asked the same kind of thing of Maitreya. Pritchett asked it of Shukadeva Goswami. What's going on with this material existence? If we're spirit, what are we doing? Entangled in matter. It's contradictory. You find the question there. Questions by Pritchett to Shukadeva in the second canto. Questions, further inquiries by Vidura to Maitreya in the third canto. And the same thing comes up here. Krishna replies, my dear Uddhava, due to the influence of the material modes of nature, which are under my control, the living entity is sometimes designated as conditioned and sometimes as liberated. In fact, however, the soul is never really bound up or liberated, and since I am the Supreme Lord of Maya, which is the cause of the modes of nature, I also am never to be considered liberated or in bondage. You are never really bound up, and you're never really liberated. You're actually existing eternally in your pure spiritual identity, but it's covered over due to the wild imagination. Material existence means we're haunted by a witch. This is explained by Jagannanda Pandit in his book, Praying of Art, often quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're haunted by the witch of material energy, and therefore we see everything upside down. How to understand that actually liberation and conditioned existence really don't have anything to do with the pure spirit soul? Lord Brahma gives a very brilliant example in his prayers in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. After the Brahma Vimohana Lila, when Brahma's offering prayers to Krishna, Lord Brahma says, Ajnana Sangha Bhava Bandha Moksha. The state of being bound by material existence and the state known as being liberated, they're both not real. How is that? Because the spirit soul is eternally pure and never compromised. Just like if you're living on the sun planet, is there any question of day or night? Think about it. Why isn't there any day or night on the sun planet? There's no darkness. The sun is always shining. So what divides between day and night on the sun planet? Nothing. Similarly, in your pure state of Krishna consciousness, what is there to divide, condition, liberate? So they all have no meaning. This is Lord Brahma's example. Brilliant, beautiful example for me. Adikavi, the original scientist, the original intellectual of the universe. Our position is that the first living entity, the first created being in the universe is the most intelligent. And from there and down, things get worse. And the current delusion of human beings today is that they think they're the crown of creation. That they are the smartest creatures that ever walked the earth. I didn't think of it that way. Just like how some people refer to this, there's this huge multinational corporation in the USA, Enron, and they supposedly made billions of dollars, but it was all cheating, and then finally they all got caught. So their CEO and his staff, they're referred to sarcastically as, you know, the smartest guys in the room. In that particular room, you know, they're the smartest guy. And though they're so smart, and yeah, you can say, but they enjoy for a while. Fame, corporate travel, corporate jets, hotels, Las Vegas. Okay, so it came to an end in disgrace and prison sentences, but still, they probably got some money stashed away when they come out of prison. We'll do anything, we'll sacrifice anything for just a few moments of pleasure, right? This is how crazy we are in communion. Just give me a few moments of madness. Krishna, let me have my day of madness. Never mind the effects that will last a lifetime in terms of karmic reactions now and later. The most intelligent person, Lord Brahma, has said, just like there's no question of day and night if you're living on the sun, similarly, there's really no question of conditioned or liberated states of existence. You only see conditioned life and liberated life based on an ignorance, a jnana. That ignorance develops because of separation from Krishna. So what is the transcendental fact? That there is never any separation from Krishna. Separation from Krishna is impossible. Then you say, well, what are we doing now in our situation? Imagination. Powerful imaginations. We're suffering the consequences of the dreamlike state produced by the false ego. So really, as Krishna's explaining here himself, there's no point in arguing about conditioned or liberated when the pure soul is free of all designation, and conditioned, liberated is a designation. Okay, it's a designation that has some temporary value, relative value. But if you're living on the sun planet, what's the use in distinguishing, trying to distinguish between day and night? There's no darkness which marks the night. Everything is light, constant. Similarly, in association with Krishna, what's the question of trying to divide between conditioned and liberated? Once we accept that separation from Krishna is impossible, then we begin to understand material existence. So throughout the Bhagavatam, this point is made. Prajit Maharaj asked Sukadeva Goswami, how did the spirit soul contact the material body? Yadichchaya hetuna va. Was the hetu, was the cause accident? What went on? And Sukadeva replies that that's due to the illusory energy of the Lord, that the illusion of thinking I'm living separate from Krishna is manufactured. So we have to deliberate about these things. Think about these things constantly. That is the career of Krishna consciousness. We face up to reality constantly. Have you ever seen business persons? They're always reading business magazines, business newspapers. I see them. They get on the plane and the flight attendant comes down the aisle of newspapers, magazines. There was that Financial Times, Wall Street Journal. They have to constantly keep themselves in the Shravanam Kirtanam. So the flight attendant gives, you know, okay, Financial Times, Wall Street Journal. Do you like any magazines? Business Week, Fortune, Forbes. Business magazines. Of course, at night, then it's pornography and nightclubs. But during the day, it's business, business, business. We have to keep abreast with all these things. Constantly. You go to the airlines lounges at the airport, and because I'm a frequent flyer, they let me in. So, and then they have these big widescreen TVs, and there's always one area of the lounge with a big widescreen TV, and it's like the business news, some business commentator constantly, 24 hours a day explaining business news, and at the bottom of the screen there's the share market ticker, you know? So the businessmen are just sitting in front of the screen watching. And they feel like they're being energized and they're in touch with reality, you know? So they're taking their profession so seriously. So why can't devotees take their profession, their eternal occupation, so seriously? We cannot hear enough. And what happens when we don't hear? We dry up, we become weak, and then we become bewildered by selfish desires. What's in it for me? When is Krishna going to do something for me? Therefore, the acharyas always exhort us, they urge us, keep yourself in the fire of devotional service. That's the only way you're going to see through this illusion. That's the only way you're going to see what's going on. And that's the only way you'll realize that you're never separated from Krishna. So please remember Lord Brahma's example. It's there in the 14th chapter of the 10th canon. Ajnana Sangha Bhava Bandha Moksha. Both bondage and liberation are relative states. The reality is the pure spirit soul is always existing in its glory. Just like on the sun planet, there's no question of day or night. The sun is always shining with no darkness division, no sunrise division. You simply accept Krishna's word for it. You accept what Krishna said. That this material energy of his is practically impossible to overcome. But if you surrender to Krishna, if you do things his way, you can cross over this impossible to deal with material energy. But we have this resistance in the heart. Why do we have to do things Krishna's way? Or we'll do it partially Krishna's way. Or later in our life we'll do things Krishna's way.